Vast Bank presents the latest episode of Tulsa Little Jam.
What's happening, everybody? What's happening? Woo! Welcome to the season 3 premiere of Tulsa Little Jam. We couldn't be doing this without people like you and people out in the audience, and of course, without talent like I have surrounding me right now, which I have been obsessed over since somebody told me, hey, check out Annie Oakley. And I was like, well, I've read about Annie Oakley in history and stuff. And as soon as I heard their sound and I watched a bunch of their other performances, I was just blown away. They're just astounding. So with that, guys, we're going to kick off season 3 with the Annie Oakley. Give it up.
Thank you guys so much. We're Annie Oakley. My name is Sophia.
My name is Joe.
I'm Nia.
What a great day to be here with Tulsa Little Jam. What an awesome thing. Yeah, it's incredible. We're honored to be a part of it. So this year has been a year of changes for all of us in Annie Oakley. We've been playing together for a long time, but this year I think has been the most roller coaster of them all. I moved to Colorado in July, so I'm not an Oakie anymore. Always at heart, though. And Joe's moving up in the winter, and then Nia's still in school at OU, but we graduated, we went traveling a lot over the past few years, and we spent more time apart than we ever have. And through all of that, we found that we really like each other and don't want to stay apart from each other. We had to learn the hard way, though. This one is called A Lot Like You, and I wrote it about missing Joe and Nia quite a bit.
Could be anyone, I'd be a lot like you. The same grace and mystery grown from the same womb. Lady gave us gifts of amber and jade. You broke it on the train ride, and I said I'd take the blame. If you mean well, you'll see the historic expanse. The pockmarks and freckles of our heavenly past. He pointed at the night and said, I looked like it. I ached for my sister and felt our distance. Could be anyone, I'd be a lot like you.
Thank you.
This season of Tulsa Little Jam is presented by Vast Bank.
Thank you.
I was chilling out. Normally, I have to chill out in the back of the theater when we're filming at Woody Guthrie, but I was chilling out in the neighboring shipment container, just kind of doing this in the couch, just like listening the whole time. I think I said it at the top of the show, and that I'm like, just crazy thrilled. It's not that it was hard, but it was scheduling wise, it was difficult. And like they talked about, you guys, Sophia mentioned and stuff, you guys have had a lot of major changes in your lives. But thankfully, you're still together and you're still doing shows. And so that makes me even more honored that we were able to get the Annie Oakley on the season premiere of our holiday season premiere of. Tulsa Little Jam for season 3. So thank you very much to you guys.
Of course.
So I'm dying to hear. Obviously, I've read a little bit, blah, 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 but tell me the history.
So Joe and I are identical twins, actually, and Nia is our add-on triplet. Unrelated, but she feels like a triplet.
Everything you see about you guys is that you guys are essentially family.
Well, we met each other when we were 10 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So it's been a long, now it's been 12 years of knowing each other.
Yeah. Honestly, the crazy fun fact is we grew up in a house in Norman. We moved out, and then her family moved in after us, and we did not know each other. So we both had separate memories from childhood from the same home before we ever met each other.
That's crazy, random.
Small world.
Yeah, it is a small world.
But our lives really go together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those are all signs of the things. I mean, I totally believe in that I believe in chaos theory, that, you know, it's everything seems chaotic and nonsensical, but there is a pattern in that chaos, and that's what's beautiful about it. And then that was the early start of your chaos. Trust me, life is going to get more chaotic.
No, but I really did start chaotically a little bit, because when we met around 10 or 11, Nia had just lost her father. And I remember thinking at that young age, wow, I wonder what it'd be like to be her and not have a father, come to a new school. And then shortly after, just a few years later, we lost our father. So going to the same school, we were the only kids. We were kind of the weird kids who didn't have dads that people would whisper about.
Yeah, I mean, kids are so, they don't know how to, they're just cruel. Yeah. They don't get it. They don't understand.
They don't, and we were, you know, 12 and 13 years old, dealing with this profound grief in sixth and seventh grades. Yeah. Your peers don't understand. Right. They don't understand. So we did find a lot of solace together.
We've had this conversation in season one. Age makes no difference in art. And I know, like, some adults, you know, people who don't necessarily, I think it's people that don't necessarily understand or appreciate arts, don't seem to understand that any age can have incredibly impactful moments that they can draw upon to create their art. So do you feel like that those massive changes at such an early age shaped you in a particular way? And did that also, if you didn't have talent like you have, do you feel that it could have affected you in a different way, like sent your life down a different path if you didn't have music?
Yeah, most definitely. We all had our values changed at a very young age. I mean, it went from like football games and what we're going to wear to school to dealing with how our mothers changed in front of us, and just witnessing, you know, so much sadness. And if we hadn't been into music, I'm sure we still would have been changed, deeply changed. But music was a really great conduit to get those feelings out. So I'm glad it was music.
I mean, I started writing songs because of my father's death. I had just gotten a guitar a few months before he died. And, I said that now's the time to write what I'm feeling. And, you know, I can play guitar and I can sing, so that's my medium. I wasn't good at drawing, so maybe that would have been it. But songwriting was the medium. And for many years after we started playing together, our songs were all very sad and about grief.
Don't give up on drawing, though.
I mean,
I just read a thing about some 80-year-old who didn't start painting or anything until she was like 80, and yeah, now she's got shows everywhere.
You know, it is practice, but we give time to what we value, right?
There you
know.
Go.
I've seen their drawings too, so I don't know. I wouldn't give them advice.
Pretty bad.
All right, sorry, you're done. No more.
Yeah.
Put the pencil down. Put the pen down. No, no brushes for you. Nia's got your back, apparently, like any good sister. Oh no, my sister's terrible.
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by Arts Alliance of Tulsa. This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by
Oklahoma Distilling Company.
Still, does it inform you in a sort of tragic, sort of sad way always, or have you been able to? Does that grief and the ability to deal with your grief through your music, has that helped you appreciate other moments in life even more, thus informing your music as you grow?
But I mean, at the beginning, after that grief, you know, you're 13 years old, you're a child, so though I'd write sad songs, they were not very deep songs. They didn't have a lot of meaning. They were sad, though. But as we grew older through 15, 16, 17, 18, you're still going through those waves of grief. I mean, 8 years later, I feel fully recovered from that grief. But before that, I mean, it was rough for a while. We all went through periods of depression. Our moms went through really rough periods. And so for a while, I think we were a little bit bitter and more negative on our view of the world, and kind of romanticizing sadness, because that's something that we kind of grew up with. But now I think we're all tired of being sad. We're just tired of it. We don't want to write sad songs. We don't want to be sad anymore. So now it's more of a, okay, how can I treat the people that I'm around the best? How can I love them if they're to perish tomorrow? How will I know that I lived my life fully with them?
Being involved in the arts myself, you know, I lost my life partner and my father-in-law in, it's been 5 years, just under a month ago. And so for me, the first 2 years since that thing was like massive depression, massive thoughts that we hear about all the time now and stuff. If I didn't have the arts from an early age myself and have a way to actually channel that grief into positive forms, I'm sure I don't know that I would still be here, to be honest. And so I feel like I always personally myself, I don't ever want to, I always want to hold on to a piece of that, because it will. It's always going to be that piece in your heart that will never fully fill, but instead we take and we find ways to be happy by giving to others and giving of that art and whatever we can of other to others to provide happiness in other forms. And that fills, it sort of like puts a support, like almost... Yeah. Under that hole in your heart.
I mean, there's
so
this,
it's not as heavy anymore.
Exactly. And there's that saying that's like grief never gets lighter. You just get stronger and you can carry it more easily. And so with every resource that you have, with music, with your friends, with your community, whatever it is that anchors you, those will make you stronger to carry it.
The biggest part about the show that is important to me is being able to give back to the youth and stuff, because I think they need to understand, and parents who watch the show need to, more and more across the world, need to understand the importance of arts from an early age. We're not trying to say, hey, dude, you guys have to be a singer-songwriter, or you're just not going to make it in the world. It's not about that. You don't have to be a painter, or you're never going to understand how to live life. The arts inform any aspect of life, period, and make you a fuller person, able to appreciate all those moments of grief, all the moments of joy, everything, and find a way to make that into a more encompassed life, a fuller person.
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by
Riley's Wine and Spirits.
This one's called Second Day of Spring.
Thank you.
Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by
Tulsa Music Awards.
So tell me a little bit more about you guys. And what do you... So let's talk about the changes that are happening this year, because that was a big deal. And I got to be honest, I was scared by it when you first told me, because I was like, oh, crap, and then they're going to be on the show. But that didn't happen. Obviously, you're here.
So it's been a wild ride. In May, we both graduated college. So that was kind of, you know, coming of age thing. And then a month after I got engaged, thus my fiance is doing his PhD at Colorado State University. So I have moved up to Fort Collins, Colorado. Joe is moving up a little bit later, and Nia's still working on her degree, but a lot of change, a lot of moving happening. And throughout that, at the beginning, we were unsure, how is this band going to work? But there's an article out in the Oklahoman about talking about how we've dealt with it as a band, and we've actually been surprisingly resilient. Like, we've been able to not only play shows still, but write music together. If you want to chime in about how it's been for you, it's been surprisingly better than I thought for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty fluid. We find a way back to each other at least once a month, and playing shows on the way to getting to each other is pretty convenient and fun.
Yeah.
So it's an excuse to travel, spend time with, you know, your best friends. So it's been good.
Yeah, most bands, if they moved apart from each other, that would be detrimental to their existence as bands. But for us, it's not.
It's almost better. I kind of like the space.
Yeah.
Don't know when to quit, so it works out pretty well.
It's been a long time of us playing together, and Joe and I are twins. We'll never stop being twins. Nia and I are best friends. We'll never stop being best friends. So it makes a really solid band.
Do you feel like that would have been harder if you didn't have the digital age so much as an influence for your generations especially?
Potentially, but I think it may not be the digital age that's helping so much. I mean, it does help, but it's more so that we've been in school the entire time we've been a band, so high school and college. That restricts the shows we're able to play to either the weekends or to spring break, fall break, Thanksgiving break, summer break, all the breaks. So our only little tours would be able to be on those days, you know, when we're not in school. So that's kind of what we're doing now still.
Right.
So it doesn't necessarily change much with the digital age, maybe with sending voice memos to each other. That's helpful. But I think it's the infrastructure we've kind of built since we started playing.
Yeah, and I think it's also the fact that I will never stop playing music with Sophie, and I highly doubt we will ever stop playing music as a group. And there might be periods where we aren't, and I think we'll get through that. I think we'll be 90 years old with dentures, singing our best.
And we're all very good at planning, and we're also really willing to give up some other extra responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So it's planning and prioritizing. Like, next Thursday, I'm telling my professors I'm not going to be there for whatever we're doing, and I'm not asking, and you just leave, and it's great. Everything's never gone wrong.
We've skipped a lot of class for shows.
Stay in school.
Stay in school, kids. Otherwise.
You'll end up like us.
But that brings us back to the chaos theory, that no matter how chaotic your lives have gotten in this last year, you're still able to find that beautiful pattern that emerges and creates and allows this band to stay together.
Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by
Craig and Susan Lindberg.
So I recently went to a coffee shop in Fort Collins, Colorado, where I just moved. And I was working away at my computer, but I noticed a new gallery had gone up in the coffee shop, a gallery of portraits. And I looked behind me and I saw this very jarring portrait of a young woman with tears streaming down her face. And I looked behind me and read the caption for the image. It was very long, actually. And I read the whole thing, and by the end of it, I also had tears streaming down my face. And I realized every portrait was about family members of people who had survived suicide, people with ideation, or people who had unsuccessfully attempted suicide. And it was powerful, specifically for me, because we lost our father to suicide 8 years now. It was 8 years ago. And I thought I was done. You know, I thought I was all healed up. But after reading all of their stories, I just couldn't stop thinking about how strong these individuals were. And it wasn't until later, after I went back home, that I realized, well, I guess I'm also a survivor in sorts, too. So Joe and I wrote this song thinking about our mom. And if anyone's a survivor, my mom certainly is.
If I were a ghost in this house, I'd see all of your pictures hung up. I'd walk through the hallways that I used to love. I'd see all your new pictures hung up. If I were a ghost in this house, I'd watch when your mind was away, how it would drift and be prone to fall into the old ways of me and you. I'd give my could slip in and sleep by your side. I'd give my body away. If I were a ghost in this house, if I were a ghost in this house.
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by
Guthrie Law Office.
Has all this change and stuff influenced your music in additional ways?
Well, I think it's changed in that we've all had to stand on our own and become stronger solo musicians. Sophie's been playing solo shows in Colorado. And I started a new band last summer called Spinster, which is indie rock. And I'm the front woman of that. And for years, I felt petrified on stage, and Sophie's brave, so she takes the lead, and now I kind of, you know, I have my own sense of selfhood on stage. And I think that's true with Nia and Sophie both. We're all so much stronger on our own, and together it's been really refreshing.
And also, I mean, in the past, when we were younger and she was a little bit more scared and I was braver, I would sometimes get this really just like prideful feeling of, I could do this without her. If she didn't want to do it, I could do it. Now that I've done it alone, I realize, yeah, I could do it, but I don't want to. I want her there. I love her there. She's awesome. What a great addition. So
she's never said this to me before.
She wanted to save it for an audience to hear.
But you know, when you're 15, 16 years old and you're just starting, you can really feel like you're, you know, hot stuff. But back then, I don't know if I could have actually done it alone.
By the way, Joe, I did see moments of a little bit of a, yeah, I'm a rock star on the electric. I could sense it.
She is a rock star.
See, the audience agrees too. Do you guys have goals set at all, or have you gotten to that point? I know it's still kind of new, but have you set any goals for after the school's done? Are you thinking about perhaps more tours? And because you're here for Little Jam, but you are playing several shows around the tri-state area. So have you do you think that far ahead? Because we did talk about organization and priorities and stuff like that. So I don't know how or how much you leave to chance.
I mean, we book shows a year out in advance now. I do all of the booking myself.
That's why it took forever to get her on the show.
I mean, people will reach out and say, can you play next week? And I'm like, man, you should have asked a year ago. But we actually are planning more tours. Since Joe and I are not in school, we're a lot more flexible. That just may mean playing some shows without Nia, which is painful but doable. And then also, we really want to record again. We've written a lot of new stuff since our last album came out in October of last year. Mm-hmm. Just in a year's span, we've written so much more. And it feels more like us, even. Mm-hmm. So in the future, you can see more tours and more recorded tunes from us.
And yeah, and then this also is not the first show you've done. You've been on the So Far program twice?
Yes, and actually we were asked to play in So Far in Portland, so we're going to be heading up there sometime too.
Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by
Inner Circle Vodka Bar.
We're good?
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Oh, cool.
If you've ever been angry at someone with a deep, strong, heated anger, this is the song for you. It's called Nothing to Say.
Say you, I have nothing to say. nothing to say.
Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by
Dos Bandidos.
So do you have any more, any other Oklahoma artists you plan on working together with in some fashion?
Oh, yeah. There's a Tulsa gal here named Charlotte Bumgarner, and I'm in love with everything she does musically, so I'm going to be working with her on some music, hopefully. Also a pal named Maddie Razook. Awesome. Samantha Crane, I'm hoping to have her produce Spinster's next record. So I'd love to have her collaborate on Annie Oakley stuff as well. But yeah.
We always have Kyle Reed close by on our records, so he's great. Tremaine Wade for drums. We're playing with him a little bit more.
Oh, so you do have percussion. Sometimes.
Last night we had drums at our show. What? Didn't bring him up to Tulsa, but...
What?
Yeah. Yeah, we're hopefully in our newer sound, we're going to have some drums and bass.
I think it's wonderful when bands just do like a wide mix of different instrumentation in their arrangements and stuff. But just you guys with guitars and a violin is enough for me. So
I think for the next record, it's going to be a little bit of both.
Okay, yeah. Rock on.
My mom finally wore us down. She's been asking me for 6 years now, I think, why we don't have drums. Like, she comes to so many shows, and she's asked probably every single time. She's like, are you going to have drums next time? Like, no. No. So now
Super
the answer
subtle.
Is yes. Yeah. Finally.
There are worse things to get hounded about by your mother, by the way. Oh. Yeah. My mother hounds me about way worse stuff than that. And I'm 44. Who are some of the biggest influences for you musically?
Yeah, let's just go down the line and talk about our favorites. It changes a lot, but for some of my bedrock, it started with Alison Krauss.
Sorry. For your bedrock being your bass, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, for some reason I thought I just thought you'd be jumping up and down on your bed, rocking out.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why that popped in my head.
That popped in my head, too.
That's so cute.
I don't know why.
I was like, I don't know. Alison Krauss jamming out to her. No, Alison Krauss and... for me, I'm listening to a lot of Adrian Linker all the time.
Yeah, Adrian Linker constantly for me. Big Thief, her band is incredible.
Haley Hendricks.
I'm so into everything she does. Joan Shelley is also a huge influence for me right now.
I only listen to people kind of like that. I listen to, like, you know, the Phoebe Bridgers and Julia Jacklin, but for violin specifically and not kind of in my own sound, Andrew Bird. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that he plays violin. is incredible, and so I like try to cover his songs and things like that, and just trying to copy whatever bowing he does is impossible, one, and really fun, but he's basically like the only one, and just like go forward with that one.
Do you feel like your influences change over time? You said
certainly.
Yeah, sometimes. Is it a mood thing?
Well, it's more of an age thing, because when we first started, we were more on the bluegrass side. So okay. I would have said the Punch Brothers, John Fulbright. I had seen them so many times. So more Red Dirt, country, bluegrass.
Milk Carton Kids have always been influenced,
yeah.
Will always be an influence.
I mean, like some people like Milk Carton Kids, Alison Krauss, Simon and Garfunkel. Those are always going to be our influences.
Right.
But... as we've gotten older, they've definitely changed in terms of what influences our personal sound.
Right.
We were just talking about this the other day, about how we're not playing music to be the center of attention. We're not playing music to be rock stars or superstars. We're playing music just
for the music and sharing what the music is about for someone, hopefully in the crowd, to pick something out of it and say, I felt that too.
If you reach one person, you've done it. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to thank everybody, and I'd like to give one more round of applause, actually, and I'm super honored and so psyched that you guys were able to be here. Once again, for Annie Oakley, guys, the Annie Oakley.
Thank you.